Today, President Trump tweeted out that he disagrees with the CDC on what he called their tough and expensive guidelines for opening schools. Shortly after, Vice President Mike Pence said at a task force briefing that the CDC will be issuing new guidelines on schools reopening next week. This comes as the U.S. saw another one-day record for new COVID-19 cases yesterday, 60,000 people in just a single day, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, notably absent from today's task force briefing, spoke yesterday about falling death rates.
It's a false narrative to take comfort in a lower rate of death. There's so many other things that are very dangerous and bad about this virus. Don't get yourself into false complacency.
Ohio is one of several states seeing an uptick in COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and positive COVID-19 test results. Dr. Tara Smith is an infectious disease epidemiologist at Kent State University in Ohio. So first, Dr. Smith, do you agree with Dr. Fauci?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. One of the things we are seeing with this virus is that it's not only about the mortality. We are seeing people that get infected with this and potentially have long-term, maybe chronic conditions that come from this, long-term problems with their lungs, with breathing, potentially with mental issues. We've seen reports of kind of brain fog, almost a chronic fatigue-like syndrome that seems to follow some of these people. And some people that have been dubbed long haulers, that after months, they still don't seem to be getting well. And these are many people that are, you know, relatively young and healthy. So not the elderly, those with poor health that tend to make up more of those who are dying from this, but those who are otherwise really not at high risk of death from coronavirus, but are having these long-term complications. So I think we need to focus not only on mortality and on deaths from this, but really on the entire clinical picture.
Yeah, and also on prevention. You know, the one proven thing that people can do to limit the spread of COVID-19 is wear masks and, of course, socially distance. Your governor there in Ohio, Mike DeWine, is requiring masks now in the hardest hit counties. That starts later today. What's your sense of people taking that up?
Yeah, we've already seen a lot of resistance to that. In Ohio, we have a pretty active anti-vaccine group. And, of course, now they've kind of moved into the anti-COVID and anti-mask contingent. So I'm hoping that people will do the right thing and that most of them will use masks without objection when they're out in public to try to prevent spread of this, especially in those hard hit counties. But I know that there is already some resistance to this. And I think we're seeing that across the country as well, that people, you know, some small subset of people are just really reluctant to wear masks and refuse those and suggest it infringes on their civil liberties. But I think most of the people, I hope, will really take this up and protect their neighbors.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned the conflation of the anti-vaccine movement with the anti-masks movement. We've seen that. Speak to people directly. You know, speak to people who think that this is just something being imposed on them by Democrats, for instance. We've heard people say that. Speak to them directly.
Right. Well, that's kind of the irony is that a lot of the people who are resistant to this also would consider themselves, I think, conservative Christians. And of course, one of the key elements of Jesus's talks was love thy neighbor. And that's exactly what you're doing with by wearing a mask is, you know, you're protecting your neighbor, they're protecting you. And so I think really to protect your communities and to really show that you are pro-life, that masking should be the bare minimum thing that you do. And so I really don't understand why that is not getting out into that type of community.
Yeah. And one last thing. Talk to us about the evidence now that smaller droplets of the virus that are expelled just when people talk can linger in the air longer, kind of surf the air, as opposed to larger droplets from a cough that might fall. What should people know about that? I mean, I'm assuming one thing is don't be inside with groups as much as possible. But what else should people know?
Yeah, and I think that's something really that just reinforces what we've been saying the whole time is that indoor spread is most critical and most important and being in relatively close contact with people for an extended period of time. I don't think this is as easily airborne as something like measles that can linger for many hours and infect a larger number of people. But again, it's just really reinforces that necessity to try to stay away from individuals, just try to keep everything outdoors as much as possible. And when you are indoors, to wear those masks as much as you can to try to protect yourself from both large and small droplets.
Tara Smith, who's an infectious disease epidemiologist at Kent State University in Ohio. Dr. Smith, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
And again, while in today's task force briefing at the Department of Education, Vice President Pence indicated the CDC would be issuing new guidelines on schools reopening, something the president is calling for, Dr. Deborah Birx cautioned that people in states where cases are spiking should not even go to restaurants or gather many people in their homes.